Well, what kind of a semester are you going to have? Whether you are a student or a staff or faculty member, what is your semester going to look like? Is it going to be a good semester? Is it going to be a difficult semester? Is it going to be easy? Is it going to be hard? There are all kinds of things that are going into it. One thing I can tell you, well, we will blink our eyes and 16 weeks will be gone, and the semester will be over before we even realize it. And so as we are beginning a new semester today, I want us to pause and think about what kind of a semester are you going to have? And then I want to tell you that you can have a really good semester. That can be your case for you. You say, well, you don't know my class load. Well, I don't know all of your class loads. I have to confess that I don't go in and look at every class that each one of you are taking. I only do that for those students that I advise. I don't know your class load. I don't know all of the things that you have going on in your life. And quite frankly, none of us know what we're going to face, good or bad, tomorrow. None of us have a clue about that. But the fact of the matter is I can tell you how you can have a good semester. So I want you to open your Bible with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, probably one of the more familiar Psalms, beyond 23 and 100 and 150. Then Psalm 1 is probably one of those that you have read many times and maybe heard preached on. Maybe you've taught on it or preached on it yourself as well. But we're going to come to Psalm 1. And in this psalm, I believe that we have a path to having a good semester that I can help you with in doing that. So let's look there at God's Word together. We're going to read the whole psalm, and then we'll come back and break it down together. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. As we look at this passage today, I want to tell you that we have a contrast that is there that is obvious just in reading it through, and it is the blessed life, or the life that prospers or is successful, versus the unblessed life or the ungodly life that is there. And in this psalm, if we'll look at it, there are three things that this psalm communicates. There are three stanzas to it. And if we will grapple with those and live them out in our daily life, then you will have a successful semester, no matter how hard or how easy it may be. So the first thing that we see is in the very first stanza, which is the longest stanza of the psalm, is three verses, the first three verses. And he tells us this, to follow the path to success. And that's what I want you to notice, that path to success, and decide today, decide right now, that throughout this semester I'm going to follow the path to success that we see here. So look there with me at that first stanza again, those first three verses. There are really three parts to it. Each verse conveys something else. The first verse tells us this, to reject ungodly counsel. Reject ungodly counsel. The second part is to rejoice in God's word. And the third part is to rejoice in God's strength. And if you will take those three principles and apply them in your life, then you will have success this semester. So look at the first one there with me, to reject ungodly counsel. Look at verse 1. He said, blessed, or as you probably know, the word could also be translated, happy is the man, or blessed is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, not always does God's word begin with a negative. In fact, many times we emphasize the negative when God's word emphasizes the positive. But in this case, that is what the Lord does. He begins with a negative statement. And he says, listen, the path to success begins with understanding you must reject ungodly counsel. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk, or who walks not, in the counsel of the ungodly, or in the advice of the ungodly. Now, folks, I've got to tell you, the fact of the matter is, in all of my years of preaching and teaching the Word of God, I have found more Christians who listen more to the counsel and advice of worldly people, of the world system, of those who are not even as mature as they are in the Christian faith, and certainly reject the counsel of godly leadership. But they choose to do that. Now, I want you to understand that God is warning us here that we need to reject ungodly counsel. He says, listen, you shouldn't be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. There's so much of our world that infiltrates our life. There is so much around us of how we even define what success is that in reality that has nothing to do with God's Word and true success. It is simply the world's idea of success. It is ungodly counsel. Now, the fact of the matter is most people that I have dealt with through the years who seek advice, you know that they're really not listening. This happens all of the time. In fact, it happened to me very recently. I had someone in another state send me some email about advice, and we went back and forth a few different times, and I think it was about the third or fourth email back and forth. This person said, well, I just want you to know my plan is the way I do things in my life is I get advice from a lot of different people, and I don't usually take any of it. And I mean, that's just what he told me. And I was like, so why have we been wasting my time for the last several weeks in going back and forth with these things? It's not that I expect people to always agree or to take my advice or Dr. Wright's advice or Dr. Harmon's advice or any of the other people here, any of the faculty and staff's advice every time. But the point of the matter is you should be seeking godly advice and listening to it. You shouldn't just be seeking the advice of the world. You shouldn't just be seeking the advice of those who will tell you what you want to hear. You can always stack people up on both sides who advise you in different directions until you get enough on one side that lets you do what you want to do. But the reality of it is he is warning us that we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly says it's all about you. Jesus says to be the servant of all. The ungodly says get all the treasures and toys that you can. And Jesus says lay up treasures in heaven. The ungodly says if you don't have this, this, and this, then you're not successful. And Jesus says to love me and serve me is success. You see, the reality is so much of the time, even we as Christians are infiltrated by ungodly and worldly advice. And God says you need to reject it. Do not walk in it. But notice the progression, and many people have noted this. If you've heard a sermon on this passage or if you've read a commentary on it, it probably has pointed out to you somewhere along the way the digression that takes place here in verse 1. He says that we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he says, nor stand in the path of sinners, or the path, the way, the road, and that term is used several times in this psalm. He says, don't walk in the road of the sinners. And then stand there. And then he says, or sits in the seat of the scornful. It's this progress in the wrong direction that takes place. First, you listen to the ungodly advice. Then you begin to walk in accordance with that advice. And then pretty soon you are now sitting in arrogant, scornful, laughing at those who are godly. It is a digression that happens in our life when we take the path of sin. It is the digression that happens in our life when we say we're going to do it our way instead of God's way. We begin first by listening to that kind of advice. We then begin to walk that way to the point that we're actually standing in the path of sin. That's the road that we have chosen. And then ultimately we're sitting on the side down there at the crossroads where people are deciding to go God's way or their way, and we're making fun of those who do it God's way. He says, listen, first thing, if you're going to be successful, is you must reject ungodly counsel. But secondly, he also says in verse 2 that we should rejoice in God's word. This is the contrast. Where do we get our counsel from? Verse 2 says, but his delight, that blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, the Pentateuch. And of course, we know that very often that referred to the entirety of the Old Testament, but primarily the first five books. And so we see that his delight is in the law of the Lord, or in Yahweh's word, that in his law he meditates day and night. I love when I first learned what this word meditate means. It means to talk to yourself. It means to talk to yourself in pondering. Meditation today, people have the idea of you sit in a room and cross your legs and try to clear your mind. Meditation in Scripture never is about clearing your mind. It's always about filling your mind. It's all about you thinking the thoughts of God after Him. It is about you rehearsing Scripture in your mind. By the way, that is the answer for staying away from the path of the ungodly as well. In fact, that's exactly how Jesus dealt with Satan's temptations, wasn't it? By quoting Scripture. The fact of the matter is the battle for your life happens primarily in your mind. And the battle for the mind is only won when we think God's thoughts after Him. Let me repeat that. The battle for your mind will only be won when you choose to think God's thoughts after Him. When you meditate upon the Word of God. When you read the Word of God over and over, and you think about it and you process it in your mind all day and all night. We just started New Year, and for as long as I can remember going to church, I remember pastors encouraging people to decide to read through the Bible in a year at the beginning of every year. I think that's a great plan. I've done that many times in my life. But I want to tell you today, I would rather you choose one verse of Scripture every day and read it and think about it, meditate on it, put it in your heart, think about it all day long, think about it all night, than to rush through reading the Bible in a year and not paying any attention to what you're reading. Because the fact of the matter is it doesn't do any good to read if you don't meditate, if you don't think about it, if you don't let it change your thinking. You change your thinking, you change your life. You think God's thoughts after Him, and everything will be different. When we think God's Word in times of greatness, we do not get arrogant. When we think God's Word after Him in times of trial, we do not become discouraged because we know He has not left us. We know He is with us. In times of temptation, we overcome by thinking on the Word of God. He says, listen, those who are going to be blessed, those who are going to be successful, they delight in God's Word. They rejoice in the Word of God. They think about it. They say it to themselves over and over. Day and night, they think God's thoughts after Him. I want you to stop what you're doing right now, whatever you're thinking about right now, and I want you to think of one verse in the Bible. Just think of one verse in the Bible. I don't know what it might be for you, but all of us could at least think of one, because some of your professors have made you memorize some. So I guarantee you can think of at least one. So I want you to stop and think about that verse right now. Close your eyes. Don't think about anything else. Just quote that verse as best you can. Say, well, I may not get it word for word. Don't worry about it. Just quote it as best you can in your mind. Say it to yourself in your heart. You have just meditated on the Word of God. Listen, that's what he tells us to do. To do it day and night. Listen, I wake up in the middle of the night many times and a verse comes to my mind. A song comes to my mind of praise to the Lord. Giving our mind over to thinking the thoughts of God is so crucial. It is so crucial when times are tough. It is so crucial in a semester when it's hard. It is so crucial when times are great and everything's going our way, to think the thoughts of God after Him, to meditate upon His Word, to talk to ourselves, to say the Word of God over and over and over. There's a third thing that he tells us about this path to success that we should follow, and that is that we should rejoice in God's strength. Look in verse 3 with me. He says, this person, this man who is blessed, this man who rejects the counsel of the world, this man who embraces the Word of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Lord gives us a word picture here of what He does in your life and in mine when we focus our thoughts and our attention upon His Word. When we focus our thoughts and our attention upon His Word, what He does is He plants us, He brings stability into our life like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. The idea is because it is close to the river, it can get all the water it needs for a root system to grow strong and deep into the earth. And so it becomes a big and a strong and a bold tree. It is also faces the winds and the storms that comes its way. But it does not lose its place because its roots are deep. The roots are strong because of the water that has supplied it. He says, listen, when you think my thoughts after me, when you meditate on the Word of God, I will plant you. By the way, trees don't plant themselves. Someone plants them. And you cannot do this yourself. You may survive the semester if you do it in your own strength, but that's all you'll do. If you want to thrive, you've got to do it in the strength of the Lord. And when you are meditating on His Word, He says, I will plant you. And yes, the winds may come and the storms may come your way, but you will be stable. Not only will you be stable, but you'll be fruitful. He says there, it's fruit. It bears fruit. He says also it brings forth its fruit in its season, in due time, in God's timing, you see fruit. Sometimes we go for a long time without seeing fruit. The timing of the fruit is God's business, but our business is just to continually look to His Word, to continually meditate upon His Word and obey His Word and do what He tells us to do, trusting Him. And as we do that, He will bring forth fruit in its season. Also notice that he says its leaf will not wither. Your leaf will not wither. You may face difficult days. You may face times of storm or drought, but God has established you and your leaf will not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. By the way, don't fall into the trap of hearing that and immediately going back to worldly counsel about what it looks like to prosper. So many times as Christians, we do that. We think, well, I did all that, and I still don't have all the money I wanted. I still don't have the vehicles I want. I still don't have the house that I want, or whatever it is. You see, the fact of the matter is when we move into that way of thinking, we're now letting the world tell us what it looks like to prosper. We let the Word of God tell us what it looks like to prosper. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and birds of the air have a nest, but I have nowhere to lay my head. Let me ask you, did Jesus succeed? He certainly did. He certainly did. The apostles warned us to be content with food and clothes. The world has a different view of prospering. But when we adopt it, we have now moved from verse 3 back to verse 1, and we're listening to the counsel of the world. Listen, if you want to have success this semester, it isn't about how many hours you're taking. It is not about how tough your professor may or may not be. It is not about what grade you receive at the end of the semester. If you want to have success this semester, you meditate on the Word of God and you receive it. You hold on to it through the good, through the easy, through the hard, and the difficult. There's a danger of being in a Christian school. And the danger is really a danger your professors warn you about all the time, whether you realize it or not. Especially your English classes. Your English classes warn you that when you're writing a paper, you should use what kind of sources? Primary sources, right? Versus secondary sources. Secondary sources are what people say about the primary sources. Is that not right? There is a danger at a Christian school that you will spend 4 or 5 years studying what everyone else says about the primary source and ignore the primary source itself. See, it is not about Mark Ballard's opinion of what the Bible says. It is not about any of your professor's opinion about what the Bible says. It is about you digging into the Word of God first and foremost. I tell my theology class, theology is man's ideas about God. The Bible is God's Word. Don't spend all your time studying theology and studying what this writer says about this passage or this writer says about this passage to the point of ignoring the Word of God itself. It is the Word of God itself that will transform you and give you the stability that you need this semester and throughout all of your life. So he tells us the first thing we need to understand, if you're going to have a good semester, you need to follow the path to success as he lays it out in these verses. But secondly, he then spends only 2 verses telling us that we need to flee. We need to flee the path of sin. Look at verse 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And so he tells us here, listen, not only do you follow the path to success, God's defined path in these 3 verses, but also you must flee from the path of sin. He began by telling us to not listen to their counsel, but now he comes back in verses 4 and 5 and he wants to specifically warn us of going down that path, of standing in the path of sinners. He wants to warn us of what it's going to look like if we do not flee from the path of sin. He says, the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Verse 4 is in direct contrast to verse 3. See, if you're not rejoicing in the stability and strength that God gives you because you're focused on His Word, instead you're taking the path of sin. He says, rather than being stable like a tree, you're like chaff. Does anybody know what that is? Has anybody been out west? You ever seen wheat? Do you know what they do with wheat? Again, I got to regain a little bit of my Western heritage for about 6 days while I was out there and be reminded of a lot of things. And that's one of the things I was reminded of. In southern Colorado, where I grew up, there was a lot of wheat farmers. And learning what the chaff is, basically what they would do, especially in the olden days when they would prepare wheat, you'd pick it, and then there's this stuff that's there that's just part of the stalk and other things that are kind of attached to the wheat, and you don't really want that. You don't want to grind that up to eat bread out of. And so one of the things they used to do in the olden days is they would get it, and they would take the wheat, and they'd put it in a pan with just a light breeze going, and they'd throw it up in the air. And when they'd throw it up in the air, the heavy wheat would fall back into the pan, but the little pieces of chaff would just fly away in the wind because they had no stability. They had no strength. Let me give you another picture. You've all seen dandelions, right? Everybody knows what a dandelion is? Not the ones they put in your salad, the greens, all right? But later, if they don't pick them that quick, but they let them grow, they go yellow and these pretty little flowers. Then they turn to this white fluff. Have you ever seen that? And you blow on it and watch the white fluff just kind of go everywhere at once. That's the idea. There's no stability to it. The wind blows it wherever it is. Listen, there are so many things that you will face this semester that can just blow you away. And not only that, you will face those things your entire life. Your entire life, there will be things that come that could just blow you away. And you will miss the stability of being like a tree. Instead, you're just like this little piece of chaff that just a light breeze carries so far away. He says that's what happens when you choose the path of sin. So he says the chaff. But then in verse 5, he describes not only is this just a path of instability, but specifically, he gets more serious about it, is a path of instability and judgment. He says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. So when the day of judgment comes, throughout life you've been just like chaff that is blown, and now judgment comes and you stand before God in judgment, you will not be able to stand because of your sin that has wrecked your life. For you, that might be a test because you've not done what you should do to prepare. My wife, who will be talking to the ladies tomorrow night, could tell you, she probably won't, but she could tell you about being in college and having a professor pray before every test she took, God, if these students have studied, help them to do well. And if they haven't, I pray that you would bring judgment upon them and they would all fail this test. And some, that was the nice prayer. Some of them were way worse than that. It was like you thought he was opening the imprecatory psalms and just praying them upon his students who didn't study. Well, in life, if we follow the path of sin, when judgment day comes, and it's a whole lot more serious than a midterm or a final, you will not be able to stand. And then he says a third thing, and they will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, which is about eternity. So listen, he says, if you follow the path of sin, you'll be unstable in life, you'll be unstable at judgment day, and you'll be unstable throughout all of eternity if you follow the path of sin. Folks, sin is serious, and we tend to downplay it so much today. Sin is a serious thing. It cost the Father His Son. It cost Jesus His life. Sin is a serious thing. The old preachers that I used to listen to when I was a kid would say it this way. They would say, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. And you see, Jesus is warning us in His Word. The Father is telling us, listen, the path of stability, the path of success, is the path of that one who will meditate on My Word as the primary source day and night. But those who choose the path of sin are in for an unstable life, an unstable judgment, and an unstable eternity. He finally gives us the third thing in the last stanza. The first stanza, verses 1 through 3, tell us to follow the path to success. Second stanza, verses 4 and 5, tell us to flee from the path of sin. And the final verse, verse 6, teaches us to focus on the contrast of the two. He concludes the psalm with just one simple verse. One stanza is the shortest of the three. And he says this, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." He says, listen, it comes down to a choice that you make. It comes down to a choice. Are you going to choose the path of righteousness? The Lord knows, He has intimate knowledge of the path of righteousness. The way, there's that same road, the road, you could say here. He knows that path. He knows that way. He knows those who are on it. He is with you on that path. But then he says, but the way of the ungodly, it will perish. It will end in destruction. It will end in destruction. Listen, you can do well in all of your classes, all semester long, but if you choose the path of sin, it will lead to destruction. You can struggle with all of your academics, but if you choose to meditate on the Word of God and let it do its work in your life, then you will finish the semester in success. Another thing that happened while I was out west is I got antsy to go hunting. Seeing all those elk and all the deer that we saw, it was just an exciting thing, you know, and it was just one of those things I just haven't done since I started working on the start of their school. I've not been hunting. I hunted in New Hampshire when I first lived there, but once we started working on the school, I just have kind of put that aside for this point in my life. And Jim and I got to reminiscing about some of our hunting trips and some of the things. Some of you that were here last year, he backed me into a corner to tell you about a hunting trip that he and I was on. But I got to thinking about another hunting trip that he and my dad and I were on, just the three of us, and happened to actually be the same trip that I saw the second largest herd of elk I've ever seen. He and my dad and I just sat there. None of us had elk tags. We only had deer tags. And so we sat there and we watched 110 elk for about an hour. And every now and then my dad or my brother would pull up their gun and say, "You sure that's not a buck instead of a bull elk, you know?" And they'd get a bead on it. Of course, they wouldn't pull the trigger. But on that same trip, we had decided to go in this one area of our hunting area. We call it Fullerton. It's called Fullerton Park. It's up in the mountains of Colorado. And it's high up, high altitude. Walking is different than walking here, for sure. You get short of breath a whole lot quicker. And there's this one area we were going to hunt, and usually we didn't hunt this area unless we had several people, because typically you do not want to try to walk back up this mountain. In fact, there are two different rock slides, and there's only a narrow area where you can stay out of those rock slides, and it's easy to get off, and once you're in the middle of it, you don't even realize it until you're there, and now it's tough. It's tough going up or down. But this particular day, usually what we would do is we'd walk it, and we'd have somebody stay with the truck at the top of the mountain. They would drop us off, and then they would drive down to the bottom of the mountain and meet us in a few hours after we came down. And because walking back up, it was horrendous. And my dad and brother got the bright idea that we would do it without a person to drive, and because it was a great hunting area, and we would go down, and if we killed something on the way down, then one would go ahead and wait at the bottom with it, and another one would go back up. The problem is we spent too much time on the side of the mountain, and we got down at the bottom, and we were there, but there was not enough time for really anybody to walk around the road. We had to go back up, and we hadn't killed anything, so we decided all three of us were going to walk back up the side of that mountain. And that was the closest thing we had. It would be dark. We didn't have flashlights with us or anything else. That was the only hope. So we turned around and decided to walk up the mountain. And I remember thinking, as probably a 13-year-old at the time, I looked up that mountain, I thought, I don't know how in the world we're going to do this. Because there are literally places where the only way you can do it is to claw into the dirt and keep going up, going up. And if you get off just a little bit, you end up in a rock slide, and you're in big trouble. And so we started up that, and we put our guns on our shoulder, and we start going. And I remember thinking about that, and I thought, how in the world are we ever going to get to the top? You know how we did it? Any guesses? We did it 1 inch at a time, folks. Believe me, we all slept good that night. But it was just 1 inch at a time. 16 weeks, the semester will be over. Do you know how you're going to make it to the end? By making the right choice, 1 inch at a time. You see, you guys are growing up. You need to wake up and realize that what you get at the end has a whole lot to what you do right now and the choices that you make today. Do you choose to meditate on the Word of God day by day, moment by moment? Study what I say. I have some good things to say. Study what your textbooks say. Listen to your professors. But always drive to the primary material. Always meditate on the Word of God. And whatever your grades are, however easy or hard your class is, you will have good success. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Take a few minutes, just right there where you're at, to stop and consider your own path. You're on that mountain climb, and you want to get to the top successfully. But the decision is before you. What will you do each inch? Will you choose to listen to the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, and eventually end up in the seat of the scornful? Unstable in life, in judgment, and in death? Or will you choose to embrace the Word of God, trust Him, meditate upon His Word day and night? Let His Word transform your life first and foremost, above all else. Then He will plant you like a tree by the water. You will bear fruit when you see it and when you don't. Your leaf will not wither, and you will succeed. But the choice is yours. I can't make it for you. None of your professors can make it for you. Your family can't make it for you. The choice is yours. Will you meditate on the Word of God day and night? Father, we come before you today. Father, I pray that each one of us will have a successful semester. Father, that we will choose to follow the path of success you've laid out before us today. That we would reject ungodly counsel. That we would rely upon your word. Father, that we would rejoice in it. That we would talk it to ourselves day and night. Father, your word will transform our thinking. Your word will transform our lives, and you will plant us. You will bring stability, even when all around us gives way. So, Father, I pray that will be our path this semester. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.